No Dunks is brought to you by Game Time, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Ticket prices drop right before the game starts, and because Game Time tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, they're able to show you the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. Guys, Nora and I are celebrating our wedding anniversary this Friday. Nothing crazy planned. Just a nice night out at Marcel, a fantastic steakhouse here in Atlanta. But guys, I got a plan. I'm going to keep my eye on the Game Time app during dinner. Get a little red wine coursing through my body. I'm feeling good. I see those last minute ticket prices drop. Boom. Next thing you know, Nora and I are sitting in floor seats for Julio Iglesias. The Game Time app is simple, quick, and easy to navigate. I could grab those tickets while Nora is in the restroom. Download the Game Time app in the Google Play or App Store and score last minute deals on tickets up to 60% off.
Disability in life is a negative or bad attitude. So eliminate the negative and embrace the positive.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Call me Tommy.
We got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey, yo!
The international man of mystery taken to the max, Lee Ellis.
Lee, looking great.
And last but not least, the man making the magic happen is JD.
Hello!
Ooh, old school!
Yeah!
Guys, follow us on social media, both Twitter and Instagram, at No Dunks Inc. You know we're on Facebook, at facebook.com/NoDunksInc.
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook.
And email us your NBA questions and comments to NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We'll be stepping on the beach this Thursday, so get those questions in. Some of you probably wondering, why not today? You usually go beach stepping on Wednesday, guys.
So why not then?
Well, later today, we got a special bonus podcast for you. An interview with Brooklyn Nets broadcaster Sarah Kustok.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so keep your eyes and your ears on the podcast feed. Also, yesterday, Tuesday, after the Daily Show, we recorded a fun new episode of Squad, where we drafted our sneaker collections. It's a Shoe Blitz 2019 over at The Athletic. So we did a draft episode, a squad episode, where we pick, you know, our Air Jordans. We draft our Air Jordans. We draft signature sneakers, leisure shoes, novelty shoes, stuff like that.
Got my team together last night. We were practicing. Everybody was looking good. A lot of cohesion there amongst the sneakers.
Good. So check that out. That was a lot of fun. And shout out to everyone tweeting at us and on Instagram, sharing their drafts, which shoes they would select. So go check that out. So yeah, that's up. We got a Sarah Kustok interview coming up later today. Man. Content Kings E. Tommy's gonna love this.
Take it easy.
All right, but let's get into last night in the NBA. Spurs Rockets double overtime thriller. This one had it all. You had a huge San Antonio Spurs rally. You had another 50-point game from Harden. You had Lonnie Walker's hair and production at career high levels, and you had the dunk that wasn't the phantom dunk, Harden. Breakaway dunk with about 7:50 to go in the game. It would have given the Rockets a 104-89 lead. The ball goes in the net. It whips through the net and then back over the rim before bouncing off. And the officiating crew mistakenly ruled that Harden missed the dunk. And then they denied D'Antoni's attempt to challenge the call. Very, very weird. Weird that that play happened, that they didn't look at it, that they didn't realize it went through the rim, and then even crazier when you consider that the Rockets end up blowing a 13-point lead and losing the game in double overtime. So here's the fallout from this. Tim McMahon telling everyone that the Rockets are hopeful the league office will either award the victory to Houston due to the Rockets outscoring the Spurs in regulation, or order the final 7 minutes and 50 seconds to be replayed at a later date. What a mess here, but what does everybody think? I mean, how will the NBA go about fixing this, if at all?
I don't think they can fix it. I don't think either of those scenarios you just said.
Well, they're not going to give the Rockets the win. You can take that one off the table.
Yeah. And whether they replay the last 7 minutes or whatever it was, I also don't think they're going to do that. I think the NBA is probably going to own up to this and say a monumental error, no doubt. But bad luck.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate Tim McMahon is even reporting this, because this Rocket source, that just puts it out there that they could potentially replay this game. There's no chance they replay this game. There's no chance they give them a win. When does that happen? Why would they do that? They missed a play. It happens in the NBA. It's a dumb maneuver by the refs, or you know, a dumb mistake that happens. I guess they don't want to watch James Harden as much as the rest of us. That they just, you know, they just saw the ball go through and didn't watch it whatsoever. They were just kind of looking to get to the next play. They made a mistake, and that's it. That's what happened. There's nothing. Nothing is going to change.
I think they should replay it. They don't play again in San Antonio until April 12th, 2020, almost the last game of the season. But how can they not replay it? This doesn't make sense to me. The Rockets, you can't say they would have a win. So they're not going to get the win, but, you know, they had more points in regulation. They definitely did. They have to replay it. 2008, I think, was the last time a game was replayed.
Yeah, the Hawks and Heat.
Yeah, Shaq got sat down mistakenly for a foul. So they said he was fouled out. 50 seconds left, blah, blah, blah. The Hawks go on to the Hawks win. I don't know, whatever.
No, I'll tell you right now. It was 2008. Yeah, they had to replay the final 51.9 seconds of that game because the official score ruled incorrectly that Shaq had fouled out in overtime. The Hawks won the first game, if you want to call it that, 117-111 on December 19th. But when they redid those 52 seconds, let's say, in March, the Hawks still won. It was reset to 114-111. Nobody scored during the final 52 seconds.
And Shaq had already been traded away from the Heat.
Yeah, it was very, very strange, that one. But, yeah, it didn't change anything. But that's 52 seconds compared to this, which is a good chunk of a game. I mean, it's 8 minutes to go left in this one.
It's very embarrassing for the league because why they didn't review it.
That's the crazy part. We've got this whole new thing where we can go look at everything now, and this is the mess that comes from it.
And if you have a situation where it's clear the ball went in, but the referees didn't get it right, just say, okay, we have to check something out here. I think people would prefer that than this mess.
Well, the explanation was so dumb as well. Awful. They're like, well, there's a 30-second window, but the Rockets were complaining the whole time that it should be reviewed. What?
And Ben,
like, what?
I believe D'Antoni was saying, and Austin Rivers, like, review it straight away.
Yeah, D'Antoni said he was initially told the Harden dunk hit the rim and was offensive goaltending. He said he challenged that and was told no. It was not goaltending, but it went out off of Harden. So he challenged that. And, like, basically the officials just told D'Antoni that he could not challenge at some point.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. But according to the referees, they said it's a reviewable matter, but you have a window of 30 seconds to challenge the play. Which he obviously didn't do it within it, which is a strange rule, number one. But it's kind of an understandable rule. First of all, coach's challenge is done after the season.
Oh,
it's over.
Yeah.
It's done. Because they have these little tiny rules within the rule, which sort of makes sense. You can call a timeout, and then you can challenge within 30 seconds, which, again, I think there's some logic to it. Because you can call a timeout, and then we go to commercial, because we're going to commercial. Then what? You look at replays for 2.5 minutes, and then you say, you know what, going to challenge that. So then we're sitting there watching another 5 minutes of a review. So that's why they implemented this 30 seconds. But when does this 30 seconds start? When D'Antoni calls timeout, is there a clock that somebody hits? No chance. It doesn't work like that.
Timer.
So that's why they just got to eliminate this.
Because, again, Philadelphia and who they played the night before, there was a challenge in that call, but it came like basically once the play had stopped, not immediately on a Joel Embiid foul. So based on that, surely D'Antoni was in the window of
this window talk that the refs, ridiculous. I think they're just trying to come up with anything to save their ass. And they're like, you know, we really blew this, and now.
This window thing is the second time it's happened with the Doc Rivers situation where he called timeout and Austin Rivers was trying to tee him up.
We have officials that are always looking at, hey, was that a three-pointer or a two-pointer? Game continues.
Mm-hmm.
Game continues. We find out sometimes minutes later. We might go to a commercial break and come back and like, oh, yeah, they looked at that. That was actually, he was on the line. It's a two, not a three. Well, I mean, so why couldn't they have just done that in this game? Like,
that's done in New York.
It's fine.
The review is
I don't
done
care
in New York.
Where it's done.
Yeah.
Look at it and go, that was a basket. And so if it takes you a minute or two of game time, let's say they didn't count it right there. Everybody's upset. Just go, okay, let's keep playing. They're going to look at it. Oh, yeah, they come back 2 minutes later and that was in.
He made it.
Like, what? Why is that a problem? Why can't they do that? Right?
Yeah, it's dumb.
I mean, we can review everything from every game.
Yeah.
Everything should
except
be reviewable.
Except for some reason, a made shot on a breakaway. Probably the easiest call you could have. I guess this is why we named our show No Dunks. Lay it in, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
It's just not part of the parameters of what you can challenge.
So... You think,
yeah, I think you're right, Tess. There's no rules for it because you shouldn't have to review a made shot that went in, a dunk. You shouldn't have to review that.
James Harden screwed it up by running after the ball because he didn't know he dunked it. He didn't know it went through. If he just played
wasted
it cool.
His 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Foolish.
So you think, Tass and Lee, you think no way the what we play the final 750 of this. The Rockets, look, hey, you were still up 13. Your two stars go 2-12 down the stretch. You end up blowing it whether you got jobbed of 2 points there or not. Sorry. It's just the way it is. It's like a bad call and move on.
I think there's always bad calls. There's always sort of calls that one team, if they lose, they feel, hey, that was the wrong call. But that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Because
it's different than a charge block call. Yeah,
this is a basket that went in. That's not a call. I mean, it is, but it's a call in the sense that it's a play on a basketball court.
It's like a home run, right? Where it's like, did it hit on the top of the wall or, you know, just below it? Let's look. Okay.
So if they replay it, though, and San Antonio go on to win again, then what was the point? You know, they have to almost just then, if they want to replay it, just say, okay, then Houston, you just get the win then and make it even worse.
According to the league, it is a reviewable matter, but you only have the window of 30 seconds. That's so, so weird.
You're right. This is gone. The coach's challenge. Bye. We tried it. It's a mess. Yeah. It's making everything worse. The only thing I honestly care about getting right in a close game situation is when a ball looks like it goes off three guys. Like, who hit that last? Whose ball should it be?
What about a foot on the liner? You got to care about that one, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and those are... For the most part, those are pretty easy to figure out.
Agree. And if you stepped out of bounds, if a guy makes a dunk, these are easy calls to make. Worldwide Bob had it on Twitter within 10 seconds. Go on Twitter. Go on Twitter. Refresh it. It's an easy call.
Don't
James Capers, what are you doing?
Don't go to the review center. Just check Worldwide Bob's Twitter feed.
You'll get a quicker answer.
You'll get the right answer, too.
that was surreal. And it is amazing. If they do replay this, I saw Zilla write this, if they replay it, it would basically nullify Lonnie Walker's breakout performance. He scored 23 of his 28 points after this botched dunk, phantom dunk, whatever you want to call it. And so this, like, if they replay, that's going to benefit the Rockets, of course. I mean, they're the ones up huge. And, oh, yeah, you get another chance at, you know, slowing Lonnie Walker the fourth or Forbes or whoever went off there for the Spurs.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe DeRozan's traded by the time by the time they play this game in April, and you know they're running a Nikola Vucevic or something out there. Who knows what it is? But the Western Conference standings are going to be tight. Houston is going to be in the mix for home court advantage in the first round. One win could mean a lot to both the Rockets and to the Spurs. So I mean, maybe they just sweep it under the rug and hope we forget about it, and eventually. It just passes by. I suppose that could happen, but this just seems crazy that a made shot happened. It had an effect on the game, and they're just going to be like, well, sorry, we played 18 minutes afterwards. What are you going to do?
Mm. Yeah, with the two overtimes, you're right. There was a lot of basketball play.
Like, DeRozan was, like, getting crushed out there. The guy was, like, on the floor all the time.
Neither of them play today, so if they want to replay it, just they're both in Texas. Just go out there. Just, you know what? Go out to like a car park or something. Play it out there. Yeah. That'd be fun.
That's like a big difference. You're right. I hadn't thought about that, Trey. Like the 08 incident with Shaq incorrectly fouling out. That was like the Hawks and the Heat were both sort of garbage teams. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't great. It didn't really matter at all. They still redid it. Now, maybe it's because it's only 50 seconds. It's like less of an ordeal. Whatever. But this could mean something. This win for the Spurs getting in the playoffs, keeping their streak alive, for the Rockets falling anywhere from whatever. Like, in the standings, this could be a difference between a 2, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, whatever seed. You don't know. So you think they're going to redo this? This would be incredible. Oh, I hope they do at this point.
It's going to be important. It just seems important to me that this is such a clearly missed call. And you're obsessed with reviews and replays and challenges, and it's going to matter for the entirety of the playoffs and the entirety of the regular season. I just don't see how you just let it slide by.
It's an interesting point because it could have such a dramatic impact, and the call...
The weird part is, I hate to go back to it, the Rockets were still up 13.
Yeah, I know.
They had a meltdown, and the Spurs caught fire, and again, like, Walker was amazing. does that come into play with the NBA's decision? It might a little bit. It might. Yeah. It wasn't a tie game, you know?
Or maybe if they count the dunk, Greg Popovich is like, ugh, we got to call a timeout and relax. We got to pull these guys. We're down 15 now.
Yeah. That's
maybe that's his line. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. The NBA, you know, had this as a trial period in the G League, had this rule, the coach's challenge, as a trial period. But they came into the year even still treading lightly about it. Joe Borja consistently saying, you know, this is a trial period even in the NBA. We're not going to get everything right from the get-go. But, God, we've just spoken about the reviewing calls for 15 minutes. They just have to get rid of it. Just see you later. Goodbye.
Harden makes that dunk. They count it. Who's to say the Spurs don't go on and still win? In regulation, yep. For crying out loud.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. Maybe they're inspired. He dunked on us like that? How dare you?
Weird, weird stuff. Let's hear from you guys. We really should get the poll up. Should they replay the final 750?
Sure,
and we'll maybe check into that later in the show, or we'll at least get it up and talk about it, I'm sure. When the NBA makes a decision, they're going to have to come out and say, well, we're not doing anything. Or the Rockets, hey, you win. That's not going to happen. Or we're redoing this, and here's when we're doing it. We'll be talking about this a little bit more, I'm sure. All right, let's keep it moving here, though. Lakers 105, Nuggets 96. Flu-like symptoms for a lot of the Lakers roster, including Anthony Davis. He took an IV, not a Lonnie Walker IV, at halftime, and then scored 13 of his 25 in the third quarter as the Lakers got that little bounce-back win after the loss. LeBron at 80, huge. Rebounding was huge. Nuggets made it close. Nuggets classic. Get back into the game. It's right there, but... just enough from the Lakers to get the win. What'd you guys think of this one? Or AD battling through the flu-like symptoms. This was his Jordan flu game.
A Tuesday night in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Jordan-like game. I mean, you know what? When you're sick and then you're going to that altitude, I'm not surprised he was a little under the weather. Yeah. So the IV fluids helped. He's got to get the ginger into him. I've got the ginger gold here this morning.
Yeah, you got a couple of fluids beside you.
Yeah, champagne for the immune system, I like to call it.
Okay.
Yeah. good performance again from the Lakers. Their defense, once again, fantastic. But again, I'm sort of going to turn a little bit here to Nikola Jokic. And just
more
another,
turnovers than made baskets.
And just another performance where it looked like he was just, it was like a practice run for most of the game, I thought.
He had three shot attempts in the first half?
Yeah.
Something like that? What's going on?
Exactly. What is going on with him?
This guy's an all-NBA talent.
Yeah.
And he's just like, sort of plodding through games at times.
A lot of the time. And
disinterested.
If he was putting up the sort of numbers in the performance he had last season, you would sort of shrug off the fact that he doesn't look great. But that now that he also doesn't look great, it's like, you either have to get into the game or get into shape. You can't be both. You can't be out of shape and out of the game. Honestly, I mean, it looks bad.
You've got to be into one of them.
You've got to be into one of them. Pick one. Pick one. Because he can be effective without being, a really cut guy out there. He's not going to be the guy who goes and hits the gym and comes out ripped with biceps. Because last season he was fantastic.
Yeah, at this point, can we drop the how big he looks or how uncut he looks? Like, he looks the exact same what he was last year.
I don't think he does look. I think he looks worse. I think he looks worse because his shoulders are sort of slumping a lot.
I mean, I don't know if
he's got to flex his shoulders.
Yeah,
he's got to care is the main thing. It's like
that's the
Anthony
part.
Davis did have a great game, but it was because the Lakers just kept putting Jokic into pick and roll, and it was Jokic and whoever the small guard was were trying to handle LeBron and AD, LeBron and Dwight Howard, and whatever it was. If Jokic would step up, it was a lot because nobody's gonna be able to jump with AD or Dwight, or it was just LeBron getting to the rim. It was bad. And I mean, if you're a Nuggets fan, you have to be. It's must be such a strange season to see them sitting at 13-5 with Jokic just not into it yet. And you know, the team I don't think has played great, but still 13-5 is a solid record so far. But I would just be nervous seeing how easy it was for the Lakers in pick and roll last night.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets, at some point, the schedule's going to catch up to them. I think they're going to slide a little bit. They've gotten off with some really, really close wins, and I think they should be worried about dropping into the bottom half of the bracket at some point. They're 13-5, and everything looks okay, but a lot of close wins and a home-heavy schedule at this point.
Yeah, they head out on the road now, right, for a little four-game road trip. I don't think I guess they got the Knicks, but Celtics, Nets, and Sixers. I mean, three of those teams, not easy outs.
Yeah, it'll be tough in – More a little bit later in January and February, where they have real home or road heavy schedules, I should say, in March, I should say, as well. I mean, it's going to get ugly, I think, if they're playing like this. You know, they had great contributions from a lot of guys, and they're still good, very, very good. But the West is not going away, and so I think they could slip.
And what's your take on Jokic then, Tass? Like, I mean, the guy's averaging 15 points per game, shooting 45%. Obviously not great for a guy like him. Can't hit a three to save his life.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the last couple of years were his peak. Is that crazy?
My goodness. A little bit. He's 24.
Yeah.
Not even 25.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
It's strange. It's strange to watch him. That's you, man. You're like, dude, you... We were considering you one of the best players in the league. One of the best players in the league does not just take three shots and, like, sort of mope around out there. That's not you're immediately removed from that list.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it's true. And I love the guy. He's one of the when he's obviously engaged, he's one of the funnest watches in the league. He's must watch league pass material. But you can't be considered one of the best players in the league even if you're missing shots, you got to be involved.
Yeah, no question about it. And if I'm Mike Malone, I would be just pulling my hair out right now.
Because, well, he's bald.
Yeah. Good point. But just because when you have a star with so much talent who's just going at 50%, I mean, it doesn't matter how good a coach you are. It doesn't matter what your schemes are and what your game plans are. If your guys are just going to be kind of half into it, there's not much you can do. And you mentioned, you know, they have had 11 home games so far. That is their huge advantage right there. And they're 8-3. It's fine. You know, it's not too bad. But that's what they have, more of a home court advantage than anyone else in the league because of the altitude. The Lakers came in. They were all sick. And they you would think, though, you know, LeBron said, I think Danny Green had it.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of them.
A lot of them had it. And it's like, that's a great opportunity to catch the Lakers. And they didn't. I thought Dwight Howard last night came off the bench and was so involved and so engaged in his short time. Imagine Nikola Jokic was half of what Dwight was last night. Then I think the Nuggets win that game. But, there's a concern. I mean, certainly there's no need to panic just yet. There's still plenty of time for him to turn around. And we have seen this before from Jokic. But it's becoming a little more common than certainly they would like it to be, I'm sure.
The Lakers are a terrible matchup for them. Lakers, I'm sure, would be so confident if they met them in the postseason. They've got no bigs that can deal with AD or LeBron. They really don't. They're doing what they want, and it was cool to watch Anthony Davis play defense. I do like watching him as a, you know, one of those thin dudes, even though he's not really thin, but he's a long. I guess he looks thin beside Nikola Jokic, but he's getting the narrative for Defensive Player of the Year already.
Oh yeah,
the story is starting. You need the narrative, and it's happening with him.
Well, LeBron started that in the preseason, right? He was all over that. It's fun to watch. I know you don't like it, Lee, but Rondo. Rondo, when he's like got the pick and roll game going with those bigs, you know, either a little pocket pass between people or throwing the lobs, it's that part's fun to watch.
Hey, listen,
it must be fun to play with.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt he was playing smart basketball last night. You know, my issues with him are more about when he plays selfishly. But last night he was really playing his role well and exposing the Nuggets.
48% from three as well so far this season. Woo! Lee, knockdown shooter.
It's better than Lee Ellis.
Take more.
All right, Mavericks 118, Pelicans 97. I mean, I'll mark it down for me, December 4th, the day I've officially run out of adjectives to describe Luka Doncic. He scored 15 of his 33 points in the third quarter. He grabbed 18 rebounds in 28 minutes to help the Mavs to this big victory. I know there's some Zion Williamson news we can talk about with the Pelicans, but it's Luka's just sort of took over the game, and Mavericks cruise to a victory.
I just want one quote out of this. It came from Coach Rick Carlisle. 18 rebounds is a lot. That's a lot of rebounds for a point guard. He started the game listed as small forward. He's a point guard.
He's a point guard. That's why he's going to be starting as a guard in the All-Star
100%.
Game. 100%. Yes,
that's right. NBA.com's got him as a G.
Good. That's all that matters, I guess, when it comes to the All-Star voting, maybe. Porzingis had another stinker, though. He's over his last three games, he's averaging 8 points per game, shooting 23% from the floor. But because of the way Luka's playing, because of the way the bench is contributing, guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. and DeLon Wright and these guys hitting shots, Mavericks have won all three of these games with KP being rough. They won in Phoenix, they won in LA versus Lakers, and now they won last night in New Orleans. So it's not like hasn't really become that big a deal because still getting wins, and the guy has the coming off of injury and all that still.
But yeah, just get the ball out of his hands. I mean, I know coaches don't want to use a playoff-type defense, in the regular season. I'm sure Alvin Gentry knows a heck of a lot more about defense than I do, but Luka was just getting the ball off the defensive rim, those 18 boards, just grabbing it, and then running a play, and he's unstoppable. I mean,
you want anyone else to beat you on the match, is what you're saying, yeah.
Why the heck not? Why not take that chance? Luka literally could do whatever he wants out there. It was 28 minutes of magic out there for that guy. You know, 33 and 18. I don't know. Take a chance with somebody else. Like, as you said, Kristaps didn't have a great night. Tim Hardaway, yeah, he hit 5 shots. Dorian Finney-Smith hit 3 shots. Dwight Powell hit 3 shots. But just force them to win.
Right. The Mavericks, they won just 9 road games all last season. They're 8-2 already away from Dallas this year. It's a great start. Andrew Lopez of ESPN reports that Zion Williamson is partaking in light walkthroughs with the Pelicans.
Ooh, I would like to partake.
Because I believe we've reached the 6-week mark since his surgery, and that was the initial, like, it's going to be like, you know, we'll readdress this in the 6 to 8 weeks. So this is why we're probably getting this update. But on Monday, Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry said the team will be overly cautious with Zion's return. When are we gonna see him? Are we gonna see him before Christmas? I mean, that's sort of what we were thinking at the time. Do we still believe that?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think he's behind schedule, it sounds.
Yeah, they said also, Lopez in that article said, in order for him to return to action, the team wants Williamson to reach certain metrics and benchmarks in his conditioning.
Mm.
Metrics? I read metrics, I immediately my mind goes to weight, probably. I could be wrong.
Who knows?
Could
maybe
be other things.
VO2 max.
But you got to sort of suspect it's something like that, and or just in terms of his conditioning, in terms of his VO2 max like that
is down and back. So maybe he's gonna have to ramp it up from the light walkthrough. I suppose that's just a tiptoe.
Yeah,
you're tiptoeing through practice.
Can he even walk light? I mean,
exactly right. That seems to have been the problem. Hopefully, when he comes back, he's got his gait all straightened out. That VO2 max just pumping.
I wonder if this will be a bit like a Ben Simmons, where they didn't rule him out for the season. It was sort of a little bit longer, and then they get to around sort of February, March, and they're like, there's no point.
Yeah, string you along while, and then you're like, all right, he's not playing at all.
I think we would be more likely to see him if the Pelicans were playing a little bit better and they were a little bit more in the playoff mix. They got 6 wins now. The 8th seed has 9 wins, so, I mean, they're sort of on the periphery, but the Pels haven't been super inspiring, and if they were really in the mix for the playoffs, maybe we would see him before Christmas, but now it's like, yeah, just take your time. Just take your time. We don't want you to get hurt for the rest of your career. Yeah. You got a long time ahead of you, so take it easy, buddy.
What do you think, Tass?
Well, I don't think the metrics have anything to do with weight because they're just trying not to talk about Zion Williamson's weight whatsoever. And I do believe David Griffin was quoted as saying, even if he was 0% body fat, that he would be 265 or something. Okay. Something of that nature.
Wow.
So, they don't want anybody just talking about his weight.
He's got heavy bones.
Because there's no way he's going to be light. There's no way he's going to be there. So it probably has something to do with not being fat. No, I mean, it probably has to do with something with, getting that VO2 levels up. Start running, man. Start running.
You think we'll see him before Christmas, or do you think we don't see him at all? Like, if you had to pick between one of the two.
I'd say no.
Yeah.
Just wait it
out.
You
also do start to wonder at some point if they're like, well, it'd be pretty cool for Zion Williamson to win Rookie of the Year, too. And it's like, I mean, look, it's still there for the taking, honestly. He could win it this year. You could come back and just dominate, and you're like, okay, yeah, he's Rookie of the Year. But if you get too far, if you're starting to get into January and February, and then like it's like not a ton of games left, you're like, let's do the old Blake Griffin thing, or let's do the old Ben Simmons thing. It's like, yeah, just come back next year and win it.
Yeah, rookie next year.
Yeah, it's possible. I hope we see him. It'd be a nice little, especially like in the next couple of weeks, would be awesome with that little boost for Christmas, because he's got the. Is he on? Are they on Christmas?
Yeah, they play Denver. So you'll either have Zion or pouty Nikola Jokic on your Christmas morning.
Well, let's hope we get him back.
They're a night game. Sorry, guys. They're a night game.
Let's hope we get him back. All right. One more here. Heat 121, Raptors 110. This one was an overtime game. Jimmy Butler, triple-double, as the Heat spoiled Kyle Lowry's return to Toronto's lineup by getting that overtime victory. Butler was huge in the extra frame. He scored 8 consecutive points in 55 seconds to start overtime. And, you know, the Heat recovered there because they had blown a 7-point lead in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Norm Powell was catching fire. Talking about stepping on the line. May have got away with one there. It looked like Norm may have stepped on the line when he hit one of those corner threes, but they didn't have the greatest camera angles to actually really zoom in and see if he did. So they had to count it, but it didn't really matter because Butler was pretty special in the overtime period. And quite frankly, I didn't think the Raps had really a right to even go to overtime, let alone win this game. The Heat played better. And Lowry stunk in his return. Mm-hmm. He was horrible. He missed his first 11 shots, including 7 from three-point range. He was 0 for 11 from deep. That's bad. And he's like, look, it's my first game back. Don't worry. It's not going to be like this every game. And he's coming back from the fractured thumb. But, you know, the Heat, this is a quality win. They've won in Milwaukee without Jimmy Butler. They win in Toronto without Goran Dragic, who had been balling out for them. You know, are the Heat, do you consider the Heat a legit East contender? Are they up there with the Bucks and the Sixers and probably the Raptors, maybe the Celtics? Like, do you have them in that group, or are they still like a tier below?
To me, the contender in the Eastern Conference is the Bucks. That's it. The contender. But after that, maybe you would have the Heat in the next tier with the Sixers, good. The Raptors, and the Sixers, the Raptors, and the Heat. I think those are – and the Celtics. Yeah. Can you rely on all these guys who have been balling so far come playoff time? Duncan Robinson never played in the playoffs. Bam Adebayo's got a handful of games in the playoffs 2 years ago. Kendrick Nunn, he's a rookie. Justice Winslow, he was great against the Raps last night, making plays off the dribble, but who knows how he holds up in a playoff as a main guy in a playoff series. I love Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. If they were playing the Raptors, I would maybe take him because that
I think I would too.
But I don't know. I mean, Butler's great, and he's done a great job of really letting everybody else do stuff for the first three quarters, knowing that come fourth quarter, I'm getting that big piece of the pie. You guys can have whatever you want. When you get full, I'll finish it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened last night. He's done a great job of being the number one guy with just while also letting everybody else flourish. So come playoff time, is he still able to do that, to take that back seat for the first three quarters? I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but so far he clearly has put his ego to the side, and he's leading as the sort of player that we thought he could have been in Chicago when he was coming up through the ranks, but then he turned into a bit of a jerk, but he hasn't been that guy at all so far. And in overtime, when he hit those 8 points in the 50 seconds and he was celebrating with, oh yeah, like, he's fun to watch. He's fun. Yeah. He's engaging, and you sort of see him really relishing that challenge of they basically blew the game, got a second chance, and he was like, all right, I'm not blowing this one again. Yeah. And he took that out. I mean, there's still 4 minutes to go, but you sort of felt like, the Heat are home now because of Jimmy. So he's great. Are they a contender? It's a great question because it feels like they're still one player short of being a real contender, even though, you know, that they did beat Milwaukee and Morgan. That was, you know, second game of the season. So I just feel they're missing something. Exactly what it is, I'm not sure, because I think they've got good balance, they've got good depth, they get good contribution from their bench. What is it they're missing? It's hard to say because Jimmy, it feels like, is that star. And if all these other guys just sort of play off him and around him, he can maybe lead them somewhere. But it just feels like they're not
quite.
You're
not there yet.
Not yet. I mean, the Raptors you talked about there with Kyle Lowry, he was awful last night, no doubt. It was almost like, to me, Lowry was like, the guys didn't really miss me when I was out. I've got to show them how good I am. I mean, that's what it felt like. He was rushing. He was a little bit hesitant. And then when he had an open three late, he passed, caused a turnover.
Because he had just missed eight or nine of them. I think that was getting in his head a little bit. He had a couple in his defense, like do the old like bing, bing, like
yeah, for sure, out, for out, sure. But sometimes, you know, when a guy's out, it's like, oh, we really, really missed him, needed him back. The Raptors didn't. Yeah, right. I mean, that's not in any way to say that he doesn't. He won't be better once he's had a few games under his belt. But I just felt that he was almost trying to show, hey, I'm still pretty good, guys, and it just didn't work for him last night.
He was awesome the last 6 minutes of regulation, though. He was assisting, getting everybody involved. He did have 11 helpers. He was doing everything. He just couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
It was a bad night for him. But that being said, I would still take the Raptors over the Heat. Why not?
Yeah, in a series?
You wouldn't?
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what, when we were talking with Dave DeFore yesterday about the Raptors and having no Kawhi, can they sort of replicate what they did in the playoffs last year? Can Pascal do what Kawhi did? I thought this was a good example of maybe not getting your hopes too high for that to happen. I love Pascal Siakam. I want to make that very clear. But Bam Adebayo did an awesome job on him. Last night, you saw Jonathan Isaac a couple nights before with the Magic, did a great job of bottling him up. I know he had the huge game in between there, but that, you know, ooh, you need a basket. It's a little just different. It's different when it's Kawhi to a Siakam. There's a level there of sure. how they go about getting their shots. And you know, and I think Raps fans were upset with the no call. There was Siakam was driving that one, and there was contact, and he initiated some of it, and obviously he got hit and bumped, but the no whistle. But that's going to happen in the playoffs. Because mm-hmm. guess what? That's happened time and time and time again with DeMar DeRozan. So we'll see. But I think it would be a I don't know who I would pick, Tass. If it, like today, if they played a best of seven series, it would be probably go to seven games, though. I'm pretty convinced about that. It would be a dogfight between these two teams.
The last time they went to the playoffs went seven, didn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't just be on Siakam's shoulders. You got a confident Freddie, a confident Kyle back there to help him out, but I understand Pascal up against Bam Adebayo last night. That was the interesting part. Pascal looked like he was going up against Joel Embiid in the playoffs last year where mm-hmm. he was just coming up short. I think he had three air balls, which was weird, it was like on floaters. And
yeah.
He's not a fat Jokic right now. He was just missing. This guy has a great touch, but it just looked like he wasn't the same player at all. So that's what I think would make the Heat a contender, is Bam Adebayo playing awesome on both ends. So he is there.
Yeah.
He is probably their most important player. Even though Jimmy Butler's their best player, Bam Adebayo does more on offense and defense. He's asked to do a lot, and he's awesome at it. So far, I mean, he looks like a guy that should have been starting like Jokic, when Nurkic was traded, Jokic went into the starting role and flourished. Bam Adebayo, yeah, man, he freaked the heck out of Pascal Siakam last night.
Yeah, he's special. He's honestly something. He's a fun watch, and he's just getting better and better. You've seen it from game to game with him. All right, we got some fun up-down questions for you guys, but first, a little shoe talk.
Ever wonder how to get the hottest new sneakers? The ones that barely hit shelves? The answer is StockX, a revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, and handbags. So if you listened to our sneaker draft episode of Squad yesterday, maybe you want to hit up StockX because you're inspired. And guess what? They got everything you need there. Jordan 11s, Chuck Taylors, Reebok pumps. They even have Birkenstock Bostons if you want to get some beans on your feet. Tass, unfortunately, I did not see any grass slides. But if you want to resell yours, that's the place to do it. If you guys want in on the hype, check out StockX.com/bball for a surprise offer that won't be around long. That's StockX.com/bball. Check it out today.
Into the up-down report.
Prepare your tubes. It's the up-down report.
Guys, first one. Adam Silver has started flexing. And the injury-ravaged Warriors are getting squeezed. Yeah, the NBA announced last night switches for December 13th and 18th games on ESPN, both removing Golden State. So the NBA's listening to what Tass Mellis is talking about here. So are you up or down on them? Silver, the NBA, listening to Tass, flexing, getting ready here to flex sort of the upcoming schedule. Tass, you must be up.
Get rid of the Warriors. That's smart. Get rid of the Warriors on national TV games. People just aren't caring about regular season games, and unfortunately they point to games like that where they are the lone game that's on. What the heck am I going to watch? I got to watch. What do you watch, Lee? Or I guess you're watching a
The Voice.
The Voice / Shark Tank. Yes. No way you're watching Warriors over Shark Tank.
No, it's allowed me to catch up with Cobra Kai season 2. Actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See? Yeah.
Epic stuff. Season 3 starts April 2020.
Wow. Basically, Warriors games are getting flexed for Cobra Kai instead. that's sad. Nobody cares about those late games, so yeah, it has to be done. I think it could be done pretty regularly.
Yeah,
I understand fans may have tickets that say, "Hey, it's 8 o'clock Eastern." Gosh darn it, it's moved to 7 o'clock Eastern. Oh well, that's the way it goes. I think you got to do it. I think it's more important to get those TV viewers to deem these things appointment viewing rather than, heck, I can just watch Cobra Kai and not care.
It's good, season 2. I imagine, though, honestly, the NBA, the only issue is whether or not the TV companies are able to change them so quickly
or you know, with a couple of days' notice if necessary. But I'm sure they're.
You mean the actual broadcast?
Yeah, sorry, so that's what I meant
like
to say. The
trucks
broadcast.
And all the crew and everybody. Yeah, can we get? Hey, we were going to Golden State, but now we're going here.
Exactly, yeah, because you can't imagine that. Like the NBA, I'm sure are looking through the schedule right now, going, okay, we got to get rid of that, and trying to arrange it so there's enough time.
Or we want that
exactly.
That, yeah.
Whichever way you want to look at it, so that you're not having to move, obviously. Games from different days, but certainly you want to get rid of the teams that people don't want to watch and get more Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, in a perfect world, sure. We have a huge Clippers game on Thursday night. Two nights prior, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George ran into each other and they both broke their legs. I don't know if I want to watch the Clippers anymore. Like, you're not going to be able to turn it around that quick where you can flex it that quick because of all this logistics that has to go into it. But yeah, these weeks out, totally doable.
Yeah.
Totally, totally doable. And more people are going to be interested in seeing a healthy Clippers team than obviously this year, like the Warriors.
Get bolder, flex as hard as you can. I love seeing a Photoshop of Adam Silver on a jacked body, just flexing hard. Get the Warriors off of Christmas Day. We got enough time. Send the team somewhere else.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, maybe we can replay the Houston-San Antonio game that day. Get the Warriors out of here, fly San Antonio in, play 750, fly them out. Nobody needs to see that much anyways. It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I understand that ESPN wants to produce their own games, and so, yeah. You got to get a truck from Cleveland or wherever instead of from L.A. or whatever. But you could also just have games. Like last night, you know, Joel Myers was doing the Pelicans broadcast, then moved over to the ESPN broadcast because they just needed somebody. Just put the games on NBA TV. More people have NBA TV than these regional sports networks. That's a somewhat of a solution as well. It doesn't have to necessarily be on ESPN. And then when you put it on NBA TV, the local guys can still do the call.
Fair call. Next one, Kings owner Vivek Ranadive is an ideas man. He once contemplated playing 4-on-5 defense to have a cherry picker on offense. Remember that?
Yep.
Very, very bold.
Up.
And now he's tackling free throws. According to SI's Chris Ballard, Vivek's proposed solution for the Kings' free throw shooting woes was to install a hoop outside the locker room. This way, during games, players could run back and practice their free throws, their foul shots. Lee, are you up or down on Vivek's idea here, which got shot down, by the way, to put that hoop outside the Kings locker room to practice free throws?
I read that it was shut down because they didn't like the optics of it.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. It's pretty funny. So they installed the goal.
Yes.
They put it up.
Yes.
It was right there to the right of the locker room. But people around, Vivek said, they dissuaded him, citing potential rules issues because players usually leave the bench only to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Messaging issues. Players maybe would be insulted.
Yes.
And it could scare away free agents. And the general optics, which are not good, according to this article.
There's one other issue. If I was ever in Sacramento, and I was walking past their dressing room, and there's a ball, I'm shooting free throws. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Until someone says, hey, that's not for you. I'm just shooting. So I'm sure other people thought the same thing. But, yeah, it's definitely, I think, you don't want to say to a player, hey, go and practice your free throws, man, like during a game. I mean, it does. It sort of it's almost humiliating for a player to be like, you're so bad, man, just go and practice.
Yeah, right? I also don't think that's how it sort of works. It's like if you're bad enough that you got to be practicing free throws, I don't think sprinting to the back locker room, getting a couple shots up there and then sprinting back out, I don't know, while there's like a timeout or something or they're replaying something and then stepping in the line and then you're more likely to knock them down. I don't think that's how it's going to work. I really don't.
Very weird to think of a player getting fouled knowing they're going to the line. They're like, be right back. Be right back. Just go back. Take five.
Gotta take a dump.
Yeah, exactly right. A little burblies. And you just run back. But I also don't see – well, first of all, it's not a big deal having a basketball hoop where nobody sees. I don't think that's going to be the reason that teams aren't signing with the Kings. But why can't they just have one back there that it's like halftime? You can shoot around on. I know you could go shoot around in the arena, but there's enough space to have a basketball hoop back there just shooting around. I don't think players are going to be running back and forth during the game. But at halftime, you know, just get some shots up.
But we talk about guys getting in a rhythm at the line. Oh, their first one doesn't go down. Their second one's going to go down. If a guy's just continuously shot at the line, they would get into a rhythm.
No, but come on. You think so?
Different.
I think it's so different. Like, first off, it's just a completely different basket. You're moving, like, you're obviously from one location to the other. I mean, even when you shoot free throws and somebody's like rebounding for you, you know, I'll try and throw you off by throwing the ball to the right a little bit. So you got to step away. That gets a guy out of his rhythm.
Brownies, Trey's brownies always gets me.
That's right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Flashing the nips at you.
But,
yeah.
But that's the thing. If you're shooting just in a sort of darkened or, you know, off court area,
they have lights. They have lights.
Yeah, but then when you go out to the court with the fans and
it's totally different.
Yeah, it is a 10-foot
rim. The environment,
rim.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it is.
I don't know if this is true, but I think that they have batting cages like in the arena for, or a stadium, I guess, for a baseball team. So it's like if a player's not batting for 8 straight guys, they can go and take some cuts, you know, while they're waiting their turn. That's why I don't think it's a big deal. Like, maybe if you're sitting on the bench, your guy's back there warming up, getting ready.
I guess it keeps you warm a little bit.
It's like an on-deck circle.
Yeah,
it's an The idea of going back and forth during fouls, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But why not warm up? There are hoops back there. There's a backup hoop back there just sitting on the ground in every single arena in case Shaq comes and tears down the hoop.
They're on the exercise bikes out the back sometimes.
Also true.
So give them the ball while they're on the exercise bike and practice your free throws at the same time. Why not?
Was it part of Rana Dive's idea to practice free throws between free throws? Like, you shoot your first and then you go run and practice and then come? Well, that would be tough. Yeah, it would suck. It would suck for the person who would have to go run and get that person, too. That's like, who would do that? Like Stanley Johnson on the Raptors, or, you know, like a guy who's like 14th on the bench.
Free throws take long enough. Imagine it was like you shoot one. All right,
I'll be right back. Yeah. Hold on.
Let me work something out here.
All right, final one, guys. During an episode of the All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, Sweet Lou Williams recalled the time when Barnes, Iverson, and some other veteran Sixers coaxed the then 19-year-old into drinking a 6-pack of beer on a short bus ride. Quote, "We made a bet that he had to drink a 6-pack," Barnes said in the interview. Lou didn't drink at the time. He was fresh out of high school, but it was for $15,000. He did do it, as the story goes. It's a very funny clip. Go check it out. The All the Smoke podcast is, JD, I hope you're listening. I know you're a big Matt Barnes fan. This is a hilarious podcast.
It's great. I haven't listened to it yet, but this is what you want, right? This is the content that we want, the inside. This should be called Inside the NBA.
Yeah,
it's already taken.
Yeah. it's you're not wrong. But are you guys up or down on chugging a 6-pack for $15,000? Short bus ride. Would you do it, Lee? This question's for you.
I don't know if I could chug a whole 6-pack.
Did he have to chug it
or just drink it quickly? I'm saying chug in the idea that, he had to drink it quickly. So
I'm sure there was some chugging involved. Yeah. They say it's a short one.
Yeah.
They say it's short.
Yeah, so short.
It was before
what,
they got
on.
I mean, I think less than that. In my head, I think short's 20 minutes, honestly.
Ooh,
like 30 minutes,
agreed.
20 to 30 minutes, yeah.
That's a lot of beer in 20 minutes. No, that's one every 3 minutes for 6 beers. Like,
sounds like a pick and pay off.
Oh, yes.
I guess when you're 19, he was 19.
19,
wasn't he?
Never drank either.
Whoa, yeah.
I mean, that's.
Imagine Lou Williams at 19. He must have weighed 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
they, I love the way they describe him afterwards. I'm like, yeah, we were a little worried. Lou got pretty wet. Had to carry him on to the plane. But, I mean, 19 years old, you're getting paid $15,000 to chug 6 beers? You do that for free when you're 19.
And Lou Williams was a second-round pick. I mean, he wasn't making crazy money. I mean, he's making crazy money compared to everyone else in the world. I think, $450,000, I think, is what he was making for a second-rounder. But it wasn't the millions that you get there in the first round because he had slipped. So $15,000's $15,000.
Yeah.
Budweiser?
Ugh.
Holy.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Wouldn't do that for $150,000.
Really?
No way.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Let's see if we can get a Budweiser sponsorship to make that happen.
Guinness.
Guinness is easy to drink. It's easier than regular beer to drink.
Less bubbles.
Exactly.
20 minutes.
Smaller
20 minutes right now. Could you? You could
smaller
do it.
Bubbles. Nah, I don't. Not now. Not now. I'm 43. I don't think so now. No, I'd be hungover for like 3 days if I drank that quickly in that short time.
How about 6 kombuchas?
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
I don't know. You sip on that.
How about 6 cups of champagne?
Yes, of course.
Let's hear from you guys. All of those up downs. Let's see those thumbs on Twitter. Hashtag no dunks at no dunks inc. All right, Lee, tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter. Tweet of the night comes from a friend of the show, Dan Wojcicki, who covers the Los Angeles teams and does some other basketball stories across the league. Last night he was at the Clippers-Blazers game, and he tweeted this. Montrezl Harrell has one of the only jobs in America where you can go up to your billionaire boss, kiss your biceps right in front of his face, and get cheered wildly. It's true. It's true. And your billionaire boss loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely loves it.
He's more likely to give you more money in
exactly.
the future.
Exactly.
Kissing those buys.
Yeah. Yeah, I would guess the only other jobs in that you can kind of do the same thing would be, I don't know if the like the founder of Chippendales is a billionaire, but if you went up to the founder of Chippendales, kiss that bicep, flex your guns, they're going to be cheering as well. That's the whole point.
Good tweet. Nice.
Thank you.
I like it. And it dovetails nicely into our pick 'em results presented by Cash App.
This segment is brought to you by Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store. Cash App is the easiest way to send money to your friends, like paying up when you lose a bet that the NBA will be more popular than the NFL in the good old US of A. I make that bet every year. I keep losing, but I will win one day. It's a futures bet. It may be long after I'm dead and gone, but I will win that bet. But Cash App does way more than that. Cash App also comes with the Cash Card, a free debit card that comes with boosts, which are like instant rewards for shopping at the places you already love. You can get discounts off your entire purchase at places like DoorDash, Whole Foods, Target, and way more. We are also excited to be working with Cash App to support one of our favorite organizations, the ACLU. When you sign up for Cash App and use the promo code NODUNKS, one word, not only will you instantly receive $10, but Cash App will also donate $10 to the ACLU, an indispensable organization that's dedicated to defending and preserving the rights and liberties guaranteed to every person in the U.S. The ACLU raised over $1 million on Tuesday, December 3rd alone. Support their work. Don't forget, promo code NODUNKS, one word, when you download Cash App from the App Store or Google Play Store today.
Our game was that Blazers-Clippers game. Clippers were favored by 9.5, had to win by double digits, and they did. So that's a win for Tass. That's a win for Lee. That's a win for me. Trey was the only one back in the Blazers. It's all right. That's all right. It's early here in the month of December. Lee, a perfect 2-0, feeling good now. Everybody else, 1-1, so it's on. Tass, what's our pick'em game? We got a lot to pick from.
Yeah, 10 games tonight. Heat Celtics, a battle of teams in the 1A tier in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think so.
Marcus Smart, doubtful for the Celtics. That's going to play into my my decision here. They are 6.5-point favorites at home against those Heat that are coming off a back-to-back against the Toronto Raptors in overtime, an extra 5 minutes. Oh. And it's a well-rested Celtics team.
And you got customs to go through? Mm. What time did they get into Boston? What time? I had to have been late. Where's everybody going? Lee, you're perfect. Come on, man. What do you got?
Marcus Smart is a machine. He's a robot. He'll play.
Okay.
Yeah. He's tough. Right. He's tough as nails.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Celtics.
Celtics by 6.5.
7 points.
Yep,
yeah.
7 points or more.
Yeah.
I do believe I'm with you. You mentioned it, Tess. They're well-rested. They haven't played since Sunday. Give me the Celtics.
I'm going to go with the Heat. In a back-to-back, that's tough. But, Jimmy Butler's waking up at 3 in the morning to practice anyway.
Probably didn't go to sleep.
Probably got everybody up at that time. So this is the way they're wired, man. Back-to-back, that's not an issue. And then, obviously, I'm hoping they're going to cover. Maybe they win, and then there's going to be a lot of Heat talk. Because then everybody's gonna be like, whoa. They beat the Bucks early. They beat the Raptors, and they maybe beat the Celtics on a back-to-back. Whoa, we got to talk about the Miami Heat. So, give me the Heat with the points.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm gonna take the Heat too.
All right.
I think Marcus Smart's not playing. That's key for me.
All right. Good luck to everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Keep an eye and an ear out on the No Dunks podcast feed for a second podcast later today. We're gonna be interviewing Brooklyn Nets color commentator Sarah Kustok live in studio.
Awesome.
That should be fun. Told you we got that squad episode up yesterday afternoon, drafting our favorite sneakers. That one's a blast, so go check that one out as well.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, folks. And remember, you can't chug champagne.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.